It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. Because, quite honestly, the greatest gift you can give yourself is to truly be yourself. And you know what? That's exactly what today's episode of the Coming Out Lounge is all about. We're going to step into a greater sense and space of self-love and self-acceptance. We're going to shine a big, bold light on how perfect you already are as an LGBT individual. In fact, my guest and I want to invite you to just step into a passionate place about being who you are as an LGBT person. We're going to help you see the responsibility and the beautiful gifts you have to bring to the world. We're going to fire up some intimacy within yourself to become more yourself. We're going to dare you to stand stronger in who you are and what you're here to be on this planet. And finally, we're going to round out this episode by empowering you to grow in self-love and self-acceptance. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my guest. He's a really powerful guy. His name's Mark Anthony Lord. He's an author, a minister, an LGBT inspirational leader, counselor, and he's a gay man who's actually spent a couple of decades, yes, two decades, freeing himself from those interesting little chains of self-rejection about being gay, but then discovering the absolute beauty of knowing that being gay is truly a gift. He's the founder of the Bodhi Spiritual Center in Chicago and the creator of the forthcoming Global Pride Summit that's going to run June 1 through 5. And he's really set out on a personal mission to awaken people to their beautiful inherent joy, their freedom, the courage to be fully self-expressed in their LGBT skin. Welcome to the show, Mark Anthony Lloyd.
Thank you. It is a joy to be here.
Yeah. You know, Mark, I'm so excited that you're here because when I first discovered you were doing the summit and everything, I thought, wow, this guy would be so powerful to bring into the Coming Out Lounge, because I think so many of us, as we come through those closet doors, we forget to remember that what we're embarking upon is really a spiritual journey. And before we dive in talking about the summit, because I want to spend a lot of time talking about the summit, the guests you have coming up, I want to talk a little bit just about spiritual practices and such, because I think it's so powerful for our coming out journey. And I know it was for me personally that I had to find a new sense of spirituality in my journey when I was coming through those closet doors. And even as I continue, because I don't think the journey is complete. The journey to me won't be complete until I transition to whatever's next for me. But I have a question right out the gate. Why do you believe a spiritual practice is so powerful and helpful for us in our coming out journeys?
Well, the primary reason is because the spiritual part of who we are is an aspect of ourselves. And the analogy I use is, imagine a table that's split into four equal components. And one of those corners, one of those third parts of the table, you completely ignore. And you just clean three quarters of the table, and the fourth quarter just gets piled up, and the table becomes useless ultimately. And that's what happens to us when we ignore part of ourselves. Those four parts represent mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. We are all of those. And so to feel whole and to feel complete within ourselves, we have to tend to all of those parts of who we are. And many LGBT people, because of such intense religious abuse that has happened and is still happening, because of fear-based religion people or fundamentalists who think that they have the corner on what is right and true for us, many of us, through our spirituality out. We threw the baby out with the bathwater,
right.
And we pay the price for that.
You know, I love this piece and this metaphor you've used about the corner of the table, because there is this piece that society tends to throw aside and saying, you can't acknowledge that. You can't be that. You can't be, this is a part of you that you can't bring into this mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual world of being a complete human. And when we're asked to set that aside, it's like, but where am I supposed to go set it? There's nowhere for it to go. It's part of who I am. And I think that's a really powerful space to share with the listeners of, it's just who you are. There's nowhere for that piece of you to go.
Yeah, and it's a challenging part to unwind for many of us, because we weren't taught how to be spiritual and gay from a young age. We were taught the opposite. For many of us, religion was actually used against us, and the world separated our spirituality and our sexuality, and it forced them apart. So as adults, we then have to sort of figure out how to weave them back together. And for many, I think subconsciously, they just go, don't bother. It's too complicated.
Right, right. Which actually leads me to my next question. For you, how do you define spirituality?
I define spirituality as something that is so natural and so who I am, that it's pervasive because it's so simple, meaning that for me, spirituality can be stepping out on my porch in the morning and breathing in the morning air and just going, something that makes me feel pause and awe of being alive. It's about feeling whole within myself. It's about feeling good about who I am, and feeling connected to life, feeling connected to something that is greater than this individual incarnation. And I won't go too far in this, but let me go further. Like, this body is not all of who I am. My thoughts are not all of who I am. I imagine that there's a huge self of a vibration of love and light and goodness that is much bigger energetically than this body. Many people think the spirit lives inside the body. I actually think it's the opposite. I think our spirits are so vast and so beautiful and so big, and the body is inside of that.
Wow. I just want everybody to kind of take that in, that the body is within our spirit. I think that's a really, that, as Oprah would say, that's a tweetable right there. The body is within the spirit. I think it's a really powerful place to look. And, you know, speaking of Oprah, you know, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it's been a month or so ago, I'm about 10 weeks behind on my Super Soul Sundays with Oprah, but she talked about this practice of spirituality. And she goes, you know, spirituality can be walking under my oaks. It can be taking the dogs for a walk, can be sitting quietly on my porch, you know, drinking my cup of chai. And it really hit me that it can be whatever you design it to be, whatever that is that connects you, to your higher power, to the higher power, whatever that is that brings you alive. To me, that's what spirituality is all about.
Yeah. And I would add to that, you know, you've probably heard this, and many people have heard it before, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Absolutely.
And I really resonate with that. I don't only resonate with that, I actually know myself as a spiritual being, because I've done so much work in that area that's not just words to me that go, oh, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. No, I really am a spiritual being, and this particular incarnation is what's occurring.
Wow. And I think that is a big thing for a lot of people to wrap their heads around. I know it took me quite a few years to start really embodying that feeling and that practice and those thoughts, to say, I am a spiritual being, and this is just one of the experiences I'm having as a spiritual being, being human. And when I started to shift, in fact, I remember the shift very vividly, and it was right in the midst of my coming out. I had just moved to Laguna Beach. I had moved into a little tiny studio apartment. It was so small that each morning when I got up, that I had my children, I had to like fold their little cots back up, set them aside, kind of tuck them out of the way. And the girls were young. They were like 4 and 2 years old. But I was in Laguna Beach, living literally right across from the beach. And I had taken a walk down to the beach one evening in the depths of, God, did I do the right thing? How am I ever going to survive? You know, my ex-wife hates me. My family wasn't accepting me. And I remember sitting right on the edge of the ocean as the water was coming up and, you know, splashing over my legs and just looking out there and crying, is this what I'm supposed to be? And then I just let it get really quiet and all I could hear was the ocean. Mm-hmm. And what came to me was, this is just who you're being now. It's not who you are forever. It's not going to be the thing that defines who you are. It's just an experience you're having now. And it really, like, literally came over me like waters, you know, from the ocean, because I realized something just shifted. A huge shift in my belief system. A huge shift in how I saw myself. And it was so powerful that the next day, I remember waking up, and I was all alone that night. The girls weren't with me that evening. Waking up and walking into the little teeny tiny living room where their cots were folded up, and looking at that, at those cots, and thinking to myself, I'm so blessed to get to unfold those cots each night they're with me, and to fold them up and put them away each morning as I get them ready to go to school. And I thought, that's a pretty powerful thought, to be blessed to think that way.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that story. Yeah, I have a few premises to my spirituality. One of them is that this universe is kind, and that it loves me beyond my comprehension, and that it wants for me to be happy and prosperous and joyous and all good things, and the entire universe is conspiring for my good. I have that is a premise that I live off of, and I don't negotiate that premise when things appear to be going badly. I got in a car accident this week. I say to myself, the universe is conspiring for my good right here. Yep. I don't have to question that. I don't have to figure it out. It's just a premise of my spirituality that gives me great joy and makes life work.
Well, and that's very similar to one of my practices that I always say to myself, that everything is happening for me. It's the same concept. You know, the universe is conspiring for you. Everything is happening for you. And sometimes it's very difficult. But when you are in the midst of those crises, like coming out, and you're going, okay, why is this happening to me? If you shift it from why is this happening to me to this is a beautiful experience that's happening for me. I still may not understand exactly why, but man, just the moment you change it to happening for me, I know after practicing this multiple times over the last 12 years of my life, as soon as I say those words, there's a physiological shift in my body, and then my thoughts begin to shift and everything begins to change. So I think it's kind of interesting that we're having this piece of the conversation, because my next question for you is, if someone is looking to define a spiritual practice for themselves, which always I get this question when I'm working with clients, they're like, well, where do I go figure this out? How do I figure it out? How do I find a spiritual practice that fits for me? What would you tell someone who asks you that question?
I would start with some very simple but profound books that make a difference. The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. Yep. It is a very simple, beautiful, spiritually based book. The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. There are so many spiritual books out there. I would start reading some of those. My book, Thou Shall Not Suffer, Seven Steps to a Life of Joy, is a beginning spiritual book. So, you know, it's easy to start reading new ideas, or Google, go to YouTube and look up, you know, Byron Katie, Gabby Bernstein. I mean, there's countless people, Michael Bernard Beckwith, that are really bringing a message that is really new and fresh and inclusive. So that's the first thing. You know, come out from wherever you're living and start, you know, opening your mind to new ideas. The other thing that I would recommend in terms of a practice, there's two that are very simple. I really believe the power of meditating, even if you do 3 minutes in the morning and 3 minutes at night. Set a timer, get an app that they've got, gong apps, they've got all kinds of meditation apps, and just start practicing that. Even if you close your eyes and just breathe for 3 minutes, you're going to start opening up to your inner world. Another one that I love is journaling with your divine self or with your intuition. If you don't like any special woo-woo words, then just say with your intuition. And I can start by just, good morning, this is what's perplexing me. And when I feel a shift, when I feel an answer coming, sometimes I switch the pen and use a different pen color, or I indent. And I literally start a dialogue with what I call my higher self. And I talk back and forth. And there is a wisdom inside each one of us that will begin speaking, and it will start writing through you, and worlds of wisdom will pour out of you that will just be so easy and so connected and so simple. It'll be right there for you.
Absolutely. And I love all of this that you're bringing up, because I think so many people think, oh, it has to be this big thing that I do. I have to go try something, go do some yoga, and then I've got to go sit with some, you know, Buddhist people. And all of it is about finding your way of doing things. And especially some of the people you're talking about, you know, Gabby and all those people, and some of them are going to be on the summit. It's such a new world of finding ways to connect and to find that spiritual practice. And it doesn't have to be all woo-woo. It can be something as simple as you said, as just stopping and breathing, you know. Yeah. And really, you know, the other day I was out for a walk, and I try to walk 2 to 3 miles a day each morning just to kind of get everything going and get myself centered for the day. And I realized I walk the same path every day, pretty much. I have 2 or 3 places I go to do it, but I walk and I get going because I want to get my heart rate up. But sometimes I walk and I don't even realize everything that's happening around me. And as I was walking, I saw these beautiful flowers, a beautiful rose bush. And I thought, okay, if I stop, I'm going to get off my time, and I'm not going to have my best time, and I'm not going to have my heart rate up. And I thought, so what? Just stop for a moment. I mean, literally stop and smell the roses, so to speak. But stop, because something was telling me I needed to do this. And as I stood there, standing there, looking at the roses, I started to feel a shift. I had been struggling with something around my business, and I was trying to make a decision. And in that moment, everything began to shift. And I think this is when you tap into that inner self, whether it's through journaling or, you know, 3 minutes of quiet meditation, or even, you know, for some people, it may mean you stop and breathe for 30 seconds. That may be all you're capable of right now, but it becomes a simple spiritual practice. So, okay, so I have one big question that I'm actually going to, well, actually 2 big questions I'm going to save for them, because I want to start talking about the summit. You have amassed some really, really amazing, powerful people to be on the Global Pride Summit that's coming up in June. And as I looked at everything you're doing, these are truly thought leaders, teachers, they're activists, they're celebrities. There's names on there you're going to know, others you're not. But what I love about this entire thing is you have built it around 5 key pillars. Why don't you start to talk from that perspective, Mark? I know the pillars are passion, responsibility, intimacy, daring, empowerment. Man, all these words are so powerful. So take it away. Tell us about this summit and why you created it.
Sure. Well, those 5 words actually, you know, spell the word pride.
Right.
So that's what I did. I took the word pride and I said, what are some attributes or characteristics that would represent the experience of pride, living with passion, taking responsibility for my life, for my feelings, for my interactions, for the way I'm showing up in the world, really developing a deep intimacy with myself. Intimacy means into me I see. Mm-hmm. And a deep intimacy with myself, intimacy with others, honest relationships, dare, such an important thing. We need to be courageous today. Coming out requires courage. Yeah. And courage is an attribute of pride that can really move us forward. And then finally, the 5th one, empowerment. When we really are empowered, when we're coming from our own power, not trying to get power from the world or get approval from the world or get seen and accepted from the world, but when we come from our own inner power, there is no stopping anyone. It's a whole new world. So those are the purposes of those words. And over the 5 days, you'll be hearing from different speakers that align with that particular topic. We'll also have live events in the evening. And by the way, this is all free. Yeah. This is a free summit that you can attend by simply registering at www.globalpridesummit.com and register. And each morning you'll get in your inbox that day's interviews. And you can listen to them throughout the whole day whenever you can. Listen a little, a lot. There's nothing lost by showing up for it. So now the purpose of it, really, it's been living in me for such a long time, because my awakening to my own self-love and my own joy of being came through the healing of my own homophobia. The shame of being gay became the very place that I love one of the things I love the most about me, and that's true for any person, when we have a part in us, a wound, it's our woundology. And when we have a core wound and we heal that wound, it is that very place where we begin to know life in a brand new way. And most of us then turn around and have to help others in the same place. For example, an alcoholic becomes sober and they help other alcoholics. A teenage mom who makes it through the experience of being single and raising children and having children at a young age very often turns around and can help teenage mothers in a way that nobody else can. So for me, I just feel so called to help LGBT people. And the way I say it is, I love being gay. I love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. And my mission is to help every LGBT person say that same thing.
That's beautiful. And what I love about this is you are focusing on things that, when you take these words, passion, responsibility, intimacy, dare, empowerment, these are all part of the journey that, whether it's before we come out, as we're going through the coming out process, once we're past the closet doors, into our lives, each of these words are power words that, as LGBT individuals, if we stand in these words, it empowers us to really take this journey and be in it in such a deeper way. I mean, the passion to say, I'm me, this is who I am, and the responsibility to say, I'm going to stand for my beliefs, my values, and who I see myself in this human experience, that drawing in to being in a more intimate space with yourself and with others, taking the daring road to say, I'm not going to worry about what others think. And then obviously that all just feeds this beautiful empowerment. And I love who you brought together. I mean, some of the guests that he has are Greg Louganis, Gabby Bernstein, Michael Beckwith, just to name a few, Jordan Bach. I mean, these are people, Chaz Bono. I mean, I can't wait myself to get to listen to these people, because each of them are going to bring some beautiful, inspiring stories of how you stand in your truth as an LGBT individual, or even as an ally. Some of these individuals are not gay or lesbian, which is what I love that you brought in. Such a beautiful mix of people.
I was intentional about mixing this as best I could. And my hope is that I do this in the years to come, and that this isn't just one, but that I build on this. And I really was intentional, like, to get lesbian, gay. We've got some bisexuals that tell their story, and it's so beautiful. A couple transgender people. Alexander Billings is that interview. I got off that interview because we pre-record these interviews, sure, and then we'll put them during the summit. And when I got done with that, I was like, bouncing through the roof. She's so brilliant. She's so inspired. And she said, I love being a transgender woman. It is a part of my path and I love it. And that meant the world. I said, her saying that is going to just be a wave of freedom around the globe.
Absolutely. Well, and I think something she said that you just brought up is, it's part of my path. When we begin to really embrace our sexuality is part of our path. Yeah. Part of my path is being a father. Part of my path is being a divorced guy. Part of my path is being married for the second time to the right gender. I mean, there's so much that this is just part of my path. When we can embrace that this is our path, then it's much easier to realize and truly bring in the thought of, and all of this is happening for me.
Yeah. You know, the 12 step program says that acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. And much conflict that people have around the coming out experiences, they're not in full acceptance yet. They're still fighting, wanting a part of them, wanting it not to be true, or wanting it to be different, or trapped in fear of what other people will think. But to fully accept yourself as you are, who you are, when you accept, that is where the solutions start rolling out from. And that's what this summit's about. It's really, you will hear personal stories of overcoming. You will hear thought leaders and inspirational teachers that will give you practical tools on how to address fear, how to find strength and vulnerability, how to heal. John Newton, who's an amazing ally, he's a fantastic man who helps people do forgiveness work with their ancestry and with their family lineage. So I'm very humbled around the enormous talent that is at this summit for people.
Oh, as you should be. And, you know, when you and I were talking prior to having you on to the podcast, one of the things that you said that really struck me was you did this to really help LGBT individuals make something for their sexuality. And I know that's kind of a weird phrasing, but it is about really stepping in to make their sexuality for something. We get caught up by the stereotypes of, oh, you know, look at the gays and their crazy prides and the guys half naked and all this stuff, but that's all part of who we are. But now I think you're challenging people to go make this for something more.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up. And I understand that we all have different temperaments and we all have different experiences of our orientation. So I appreciate that not everyone is here to wave a banner or to march, you know, in Washington, D.C., or to put themselves out there the way you or I do. I understand that not everyone is here for that. But everyone, when they come out, every one of us, when we come out and we accept and love ourselves, our world becomes a place where it ripples out and changes the lives of those that are in it. So whether you're a pebble in a lake that ripples out some small, beautiful ripples that forever shift and change your family and your core friends, or, you know, you're like us, you and I, where we just want to plop a big old boulder in the middle of the ocean and create a big wave, it all works together. But we all have to do our part.
Absolutely. And, you know, doing your part, one of the things I noticed when I was looking at the information, the press release about the summit, I love that the parts that you're bringing together have four other very powerful words about growing, surrendering, igniting, and knowing. I love these concepts. I mean, in the grow, it's about growing into self-love and acceptance. The surrender is, you know, letting go of old or current beliefs that just they're not right. They're not enough. They're not about who we are as LGBT individuals. And then, of course, the ignite, you know, having the courage to really, truly stand in who you are. And then the knowing that no matter whether you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, poly, all the alphabet letters now that there are, that you belong just like anyone else belongs in this world. I think every piece of this that you're bringing together, Mark, is so beautiful. So I know the summit stands on three really powerful premises, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of share those premises with people because I think it will really drive home why you put this together. So
go for it. Sure, but I'm going to have to pull up on my website.
Well, you know, let's kind of talk. I kind of got in here. So the world, one of the ones that you say and talk about is the way I led into the podcast today, that we're absolutely perfect just as we are. And we're very much a very active part of humanity. And when you wrote that and you came to that piece, that tells me you were doing some really deep stuff within yourself, looking at that piece for you.
Yeah, and I really do believe that the LGBT world is perfect and that we are necessary. That's a key word, that we are a necessary part of humanity. And without us, without anyone in humanity, humanity will not experience its wholeness and humanity will not evolve to a brand new experience of being that we're so craving and wanting in our souls. I also, the second premise, because I have those now inherent within all LGBT people, is the freedom, personal power, love, and acceptance that they're seeking. This is key for everyone. What we think we're going to find out there in the world, if we don't have it first inside ourselves, it will never work. And it's that idea of looking for love in all the wrong places or seeking approval from other people and then we think we're going to feel okay. Or any story that says, when I reach this success, when I have this amount of money, when I'm acknowledged and respected by this person, then I'll be okay. It's the exact opposite. Everything that we're seeking.
And here's something I want to add to this, because I think they're all beautiful principles and foundations that you built around this. But I love this piece of, we all inherently have freedom, personal power, love, and acceptance at our availability. It's all there. It's all waiting for us. But when I talk about this in a similar manner in my keynote speech about the Just Be You Revolution, one of the things I say is my confidence is no longer reliant on your approval. My freedom is not something that I have to beg for. My personal power does not rest on the comfy couch where you feel more comfortable sitting with me. And all these things that come down to those powerful things of just accepting who we are. But you said it so beautifully. If we don't have this within ourselves, we can't go get nor expect it from the outside world.
No. And the outside world is beginning to change. You know, that what's happening in Indiana and with the laws, the marriage, you know, the possibility, the very likely possibility that gay marriage will be a federal law in the upcoming months. You know, whenever good expands, whenever freedom rings louder, it drums up the voices of fear. Yeah. And this is the time for us. This is why, like, pride is such a, it's a calling to expand the word. It's an inner experience that I believe is the most powerful. And then the final premise, we need each other. This is really key. And coming together, we will create this new world of acceptance and integration. And that's part of what the summit's about too, that you're going to hear stories of bisexuality and transgender and what it means to be lesbian or gay and what they need and desire from the other letters so that they can be more respected and honored. So it's just, there's a way that we can divide amongst ourselves, and that's okay because we're different, but how can we love and respect each other and create a new community where everyone gets to be their fabulous self?
I agree. And, you know, I do a lot of speaking for PFLAG, Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. And one of the things that I've learned in my time speaking with that organization is my transgender brothers and sisters, or my bisexual brothers and sisters, are as much misunderstood as we gays and lesbians were, or still tend to be, but now they're on the forefront of all this. And in order to do this, we do need to stand together. We need to come together. We need to put our differences aside. And, you know, I'm working on a new thought process around my stuff that I'm creating for the Just Be You Revolution about the point one. The point one of our DNA is the only thing that separates us. And when we really stand in our point one, we become really, really powerful. So to wrap everything up, I wanted to ask you those two powerful questions that I was hoping you'd be able to answer. And those questions are this: who inspired you most in your spiritual practice?
Who inspired me most? That's an interesting question. And I will share with you honestly, which I tend to keep closer to my best, to my heart. I would say one of the most inspiring beings would be Jesus. And the reason I say that is because I threw him out a long time ago and wanted nothing to do with him. Right. But then part of my spiritual growth came in where, like, oh my God, look at the teaching. Look at how amazing this brilliant soul was, how defenseless this being was, how walking in the knowing of his oneness and how healing that was. So I would honestly say that guy's pretty damn cool to me, which I think is amazing. Now, current people, you know, my personal minister and teacher, Michael Bernard Beckwith, there's just something about him that is just touches my soul, and he's really helped me grow and expand and become the minister that I became, I think, because of him. But I have so many that I love dearly. And
right. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to say, okay, it's just this one, you know, because there's so many people that inspire and bring us to this really beautiful space. So So my final question that I always ask every one of my guests is, you know, this is the Coming Out Lounge, and it's all about supporting and finding pathways to really step fully into being our most truthful, honest self and being in that space of really wrapping our arms around ourselves and our sexuality. So if you could just give one powerful, it doesn't have to be powerful, that kind of always puts the pressure on people when I say that, but if you could give someone a piece of advice that you think would really help them, that maybe helped you as you went through the coming out process, what would that piece of advice be for someone who's just starting this journey?
Well, the hardest coming out is the first one. So choose a friend, pray, figure out, like, who, there's someone in your world, I bet, most every one of us has someone in our world that if we come out to, they would say, I love you, it's okay.
Right.
I say start there.
Absolutely.
Like, start with the love and then build up over time to when you're ready. Because if there's some big ones, like big coming out experiences you need to have, you want to really be solid inside. Because if any part of you is seeking approval when you come out, that will be the place that naysayers find their way in and you will feel attacked. But if you come out big and strong and it's not optional, this is a non-negotiable and it's just solid, then everyone will have to adjust, some of people over time, but it just don't be 90% sure.
You know, I love you so much already because you said something that I always say to my clients that I'm working with is, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get you confident and solid so that you do not shake, that you become solid as a rock. And I love that you use the word non-negotiable, because when you can say my sexuality is non-negotiable and you own it and you live it and you be it, I don't care how many naysayers come forward. When you can own that, you're going to walk right through that fire. You're going to walk on those coals. You're going to step on that glass and you're going to make it happen. So you and I are so much connected on that thought. Actually, we're so connected in so many ways after having had you here on the Coming Out Lounge. And I want to say, first of all, thank you for what you're doing in the world, Mark. It's absolutely beautiful. I'm so fired up about this global summit. I can't wait to continue to share it with my followers, my world, in every way that I possibly can. And most of all, just thanks for being here today and sharing your beautiful self and your thoughts with my listeners.
Well, thank you. And vice versa. Thank you for doing what you're doing and for making your life about helping other people in this way. I mean, we really are soul brothers, and it's about time we got brought together.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you know what? If you've been listening to today's show and something you heard really inspires you, you feel like, wow, I'm so glad I discovered the Coming Out Lounge, I just, you know, I invite you, if it feels right for you, to hop on over to iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud and give us just a little bit of love. But I only want you to do that if it really feels right for you. You know, a rating and review does wonders for us to help get the word out and help bring more people to hearing these fabulous podcasts that we do. And I say they are fabulous because I'm damn proud of them. I think we do some pretty cool stuff on these podcasts. Also, if you really like what's going on, hop onto Facebook, give me some love over at the Coming Out Coach. And of course, if you're a Twitter person, you love that tweeting stuff, my handle is at Rick Clemens. The hashtag for the show is pound Coming Out Lounge. And with that, I just want to say, you know, finding your spirituality and really being who you are and realizing you're just a spiritual being having this very beautiful human experience, and the icing on the cake is you get to come out to really be who you are. And with that, I just want to say, don't ever forget. Don't ever stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth. And until we see you next time in the Coming Out Lounge, go out, be blessed, be well, and just be you.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.